The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
Welcome to The Music Room,
a program featuring a combination of new music and interviews with musicians from a wide variety of genres.
And now, The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.
Good morning. I'm Mando Richard, and on this morning's Music Room, we're going to chat with Tim Stafford, the guitarist and one of the songwriters in Blue Highway, bluegrass band that's been together since 1994. But before we get him on the air, we're going to hear him play a version of that old song that Mabel Carter did, Wildwood Flower. And this is from Tim's brand new record, Acoustic Guitar, that just came out. So give a listen, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Tim Stafford on The Music Room on WVUD. Heard our guest Tim Stafford playing, I think it was an old traditional song, or an old Carter family song, Wildwood Flower. Yeah. Man, is that the first finger picking song you learned?
Well, no, I probably learned quite a few others before that one, but that's kind of such a standard in people's minds, and such a popular song still yet, you know, I might as well go ahead and record it and sort of showcase the different styles of playing on it that you can do. You know, I start out kind of as a tribute to the Carters with a sort of Mother Maybelle scratch, as best I can with a flat pick. And then I do a cross-picking part in there, and I do a little ode to Little Rock Getaway. and then I do, you know, few other styles of things in there. So it's sort of a tribute to Mother Maybelle for sure. And that's why we're guitar playing.
It's one of the standards that all of us learn, you know, early on in our, well, if we're playing bluegrass music, that's, or country music, that's one of the early ones we all learn. And it's a really innovative version of it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, the thing, I didn't really start out as a guitar player. I was a banjo player. And so I sort of approached things different, I guess, for that reason.
I didn't know that. I mean, but with Blue Highway, you've always played guitar, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't played banjo really to speak of in years. I was in a little band back in the late 70s when I had been playing for a few years, and we got a better banjo player. So I had to learn to play guitar overnight or quit. Those were my two options.
So you didn't something like that happen to Del McCoury? He came down to play banjo for Bill Monroe, and there's this guy called Bill Keith.
Yeah, that's similar, except Dale's a much better banjo player.
Well, Tim, we're recording this interview with you after you've just come back from IBMA, where you were named Songwriter of the Year.
Yeah, man, it was. I was telling you earlier, it was a total shock. I was just really honored to be nominated again, because I had the honor of winning it back in 2014, and really did not expect to win this year, because there were some real heavyweights in this category, Larry Cordell and Carl Jackson among them, along with Tom Utes and Mylon Miller, who are two of the best contemporary bluegrass songwriters. And I've written with all those guys, except Mylon. I don't think we've written together, but we've talked about it this past week, and we're going to do it. But I just was not expecting. I was expecting probably Larry or Carl to win, because they're such great writers, have been for so long, and they've never been nominated for this particular award. So I'm just glad people still like what we do and what I do. It's just it's not the reason I do it, but I definitely want to keep on writing songs, just try to get better.
You do a lot of collaboration with a lot of different people. What kinds of things do you like to collaborate with other songwriters on?
Well, I found a few years ago that co-writing is just something that comes naturally to me. It's just very cool to bring another person's perspective into it. And once I got used to that, it just seemed like a better way to write to me than to just wait on inspiration by myself. And, because you don't want to try to force something, but if you get a great idea, I will start a song. I'll write by myself. I've written a few songs recently, actually, by myself. But I love that interaction that you get with somebody else, and it's going to be different depending on who it is. And so I have a few people I always go back to that I really enjoy the writing process, and that they kind of really deserve half of this award, or a chunk of it, because it's people like Steve Gulley and Craig Market, John Weisberger, Bobby Starnes, and I write with a lot of other people as well, but it just always brings something cool to it. I know it's going to be good. I know I'm going to be able to interact with these folks, because they're good friends as well as talented writers.
I think that it's one of the things that I've heard other songwriters say too, is that they bounce the ideas off of each other, and one person makes the other ideas even better.
Yeah. Now they will come up with something that you probably would not have thought of. And if you're open to that, then you'll say, wow, gosh, I never thought of that. Let's see what more we can do with that. And it's also, true melodically. You'll have one person come up with one line, and another person say, no, what if we did this? And they sing something else or play something else. And that may lead to something else, and then you both agree, oh, no, that's it. You never know how it's going to work. But it's just, it's a collaborative process, and a lot of people who've written songs by themselves are real hesitant to write with other people. They're worried about it, But I say just throw your caution in the wind and go for it, because some great things can come out of co-writing.
Do you sit down at a prearranged time with other people, or is it you get an inspiration, you think, hey, I think Barry Bales would help me with this one?
Yeah, usually it's a prearranged time, you know, and when we get together, like if Barry were to come over the house, we would both have ideas that we had been throwing around, maybe not necessarily for that person. But, you know, you just never know where a good song is going to come from. So somebody has a good idea, they'll throw it out. And we'll usually listen to a list of ideas that either one of us has until we kind of get a mini list, and we'll say, this is the best idea we've got. Let's go with this, you know. And then the writing process starts, and it's different with everybody. Usually it's a lyrical thing where we'll come up with a verse or chorus where we've actually figured out what this song is about. And then I'll pick up the guitar, or whoever, Barry will pick it up, and we'll say, what does this sound like? You know, what does this song, what do these lyrics sound like? And that's the key right there when you get to that point, because matching the melody and the lyric is the most important part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with IBMA Songwriter of the Year, Tim Stafford, and we open up the show with something from his newest record, Acoustic Guitar, his version of Wildwood Flower. And now we're talking about co-writing with Barry Bales. I think let's let the folks hear Worries Like a Rockin' Chair, which is from your 2004 release, just to hear the whistle blow. What the heck were you and Barry thinking about on this one?
Well, that's a good question. I think I had heard that phrase, worries like a rocking chair. You know, you move a lot, but you never go anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere. And but we mentioned that, and a lot of times phrases will turn into songs, you know. Sometimes they're unusual phrases that you've heard people use, not cliches. I think that's the key to it. We both liked that one, and it's a good sentiment, you know. And we thought, well, how can we express this best? Well, let's do it from the point of view of an old man, you know, sitting on the porch talking about younger days, and this is his advice to his son or grandson or whoever. So, worries like a rocking chair, back and forth, you know, but you don't get anywhere. And once we finished it, and I kind of this melody, I think we went back and forth on the melody a few times, and I had a few changes, and I immediately thought of Marty Raven, and that didn't always happen, but it does occasionally. He was the guy I thought of right away, and luckily he agreed to sing it. So.
Well, it's my favorite song off of Just to Hear the Whistle Blow, so here we go, folks. Marty Raybon doing the lead vocals on Tim Stafford and Barry Bales' song, Worries Like a Rockin' Chair, here on WVUD.
Worries like a rockin' chair, it won't get you anywhere. Back and forth, but you're still there. Worries like a rocking chair. Grandpa was a wise old man, cigarettes and canisters. He never had a lot to say, an education every day. He'd take down his old guitar, apple pie in an old fruit jar. On his porch the whole day long, a worried man sings a worried song. Worries like a rocking chair, it won't get you anywhere. Back and forth and you're still there. Worries like a rocking chair. Years of trouble, years of strife, years of racing through this life. Chase a dollar all the way, my reward is a turning gray. Same old porch, brand new day, where Grandpa used to sit and play. I still hear him in my head, words of wisdom never said.
Worries like
like a rocking chair. It won't get you anywhere. Back and forth, but you're still there. Worries like a rocking chair. Worries like a rocking chair. It won't get you anywhere. Back and forth, and you're still there. Worries like a rocking chair.
Stafford, and you just heard his song Worries Like a Rocking Chair from 2014's Just to Hear the Whistle Blow. Now, you have been with Blue Highway since 1994. That's a long That's a long time to be with one band.
Tell me about it.
No. You were supposed to say, oh, it just feels like it's a week. We have so much fun.
It only feels like 35. Yeah. I told somebody the other day we're gonna change the name of the band to Antiques Roadshow. It's I guess we played our first gig New Year's Eve '94. So yeah. So this will be our 24th year next year.
And it's you. Done all sorts of different kinds of music with that band. I mean, it's all bluegrass, but sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's inspirational, sometimes it's funny.
Yeah. It's just been a lot of fun, man. It was put together as a part-time band, just a band that we could record maybe a few albums. But I wanted it to be good, you know. I've been in Alison Krauss's band right before that, and that's a pretty high standard, you know. It was really, I knew it had to be a good band. And the thing that I enjoy the most about the band, other than the guys in it, you know, is the material. And I think that's a big part of why we're still together, is we've got three guys in the band that do a lot of writing. And every record we can count on the three, you know, to come up with enough material. And I think ever since the first album we did that was all original was Still Climbing Mountains, mm-hmm. back in 2001. And ever since then, most of our records have been original, completely original. We might have one or two traditional tunes on there. So, you know, it's just a big part of who we are is that songwriting and the material. And, you know, I might have been lucky enough to win Songwriter of the Year this year, but those other two guys could have won at any given time, especially, you know, Sean Lane was nominated a couple years ago, and he's written some absolutely incredible songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things I think that happens with a band like that's been together and you guys have got ideas, and you just end up feeling so comfortable with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like family. You know, after a while, you definitely feel like they're family anyway. As much as we traveled down the road, we used to travel together in a van, but we travel separately now to most shows. But we still see each other so much, and we're, you know, connected like family. So it's a mutual respect thing too.
I think that's what we hear from a lot of the bands that have been together a long time, is that, you know, there's the room to go do your own thing, but you come back to the band and do it together.
Yeah. Yeah, we've we've all done solo records except for Jason. And of course, Gavin is our newest member. He hasn't done any yet, but Rob did several solo records and other projects. And, you know, we all have done that through the years. I think that's a big part of it. It lets it breathe, you know, it lets people feel like they can do whatever they want to and still be part of Blue Highway. And it's a democracy, because I think it's the other thing that's kept it together so long is it's, we each have a vote. We got a built-in tiebreaker with 5 votes. And, you know, democracy makes you feel involved, and you feel like you're part of it, not just an employee, you know.
That's a good point. I mean, so it really is, even if Sean's singing, you still feel like you're part of the song.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it's part of the band, you know. It's what we can come up with together. It's going to help all of us. And so when we get together to pick material, we definitely want to pick the best material that we have, and whether it's Sean's or mine's or Wayne's or whatever. So everybody's cool with that, you know. And there may be albums where I only have 1 or 2 songs, and maybe several that Wayne doesn't have but 1 or 2. And, you know, Sean's always seems to have a ton of great songs, and he ends up singing a lot of them on our records, for sure. But that's cool.
We're talking with Tim Stafford, who, like your host here, does some teaching on the side. Tell us about the classes you're teaching.
Well, right now I'm teaching a couple of online courses. One is American Roots Music for East Tennessee State University. This is in their Bluegrass program. And it's an undergraduate class that everyone who takes the Bluegrass curriculum in any way has to take. And there are also students in there who are not Bluegrass students, so it's an elective that they can take to satisfy requirements in other schools. And the other course I'm teaching is at Appalachian State University. It's also an online course. It's called Bluegrass Traditions. And it's a history of bluegrass music, starting from the antecedents of the music all the way up to the present, to the jamgrass phenomenon, the Big Ten, that we're currently in. So I really enjoy it. That's a graduate course, so those students are, you know, it's more involved, it's more detailed. There's a lot more expected of the students independently. They work on their own, responsible for their own work. So those are the two that I'm teaching right now. I've taught different courses over the years. I was a history guy. Taught history, worked on a PhD in history. And so music got in the way. I never finished that dissertation.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it. Still enjoy academics, for sure.
Well, working got in my way, and I never finished my dissertation either.
It always happens, don't it?
Well, that's okay.
Something like that. You know, I think that you got to follow your passion. You got to follow what's right for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
You mentioned the Big Tent, and that's one of the things I think is very cool about what's going on in the acoustic music world right now is that, yes, there still are, if you will, the silos of bluegrass and old time and country, but there's also an awful lot of crossover and people just saying, that's just good music.
Yeah. I've always just thought that. To me, it's always just been good music, you know. I don't see why you can't cross over because, you know, it's not like we're trying to make a pop record, we're just doing music that we love, we think is good, you know, and that's what I wanted to do on my record. I had a lot of tunes that came out of years of playing. I mean, some of these are 30 years old, you know, but there were things that definitely are not bluegrass. You know, I've got one thing with the funk drum track on here because I practice with that stuff and I love it. You know, I just love that syncopation and the things you can do with that rhythm. I couldn't find a live funk drummer to play it with in time, so I just used the drum track. But, you know, there's stuff with the cello, which I just think fit the song and just really pretty. And, you know, I definitely sympathize with people that just play what they think is good, and whether it is any particular style or not is not your main consideration. We play in the bluegrass market, so we play bluegrass music, but it's what we like. It's the kind of music that we like, you know, Blue Highway. So it's that's always the main arbiter. If it's good, if it's what you like, it's good.
Well, we started off. No, please, you, sir.
No. I mean, kids these days, man, you can't expect them to just have listened to Bill Monroe and Flat Scruggs, you know, in bluegrass. They're going to be influenced by a huge range of things. And, you know, I saw a group last week that won a Momentum Award, and I heard them play live called Mile 12 from Boston.
Yeah.
Wow, just so eclectic, and all, you know, influences all over the map. But it's typical of kids, I call them kids, people under 30, you know, who've been exposed to all these different things that we weren't. You know, see, you can't expect them to act as if hip hop never existed. You know, even if they are playing acoustic music, there's going to be stuff that creeps in, that's popular that they like, and they should play it.
A little while back, one of our students and I interviewed a hip-hop violinist.
Wow. I'd like to hear that. I'd really like to hear
that. Oh, Lord. It is just one great big tent, and I think it's as we heard from that first track that we played in the show, your version of Wildwood Flower. I mean, you and everybody in Blue Highway understands the tradition and respects it, but then you use it as a starting place.
Yeah. Good way to look at it, you know. It's a starting place for all of us that play bluegrass, but it's not the only place we stay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered a lot of ground stylistically, I think, since we started the band, and definitely individually in our solo records that we've done. You know, Rob did a jazz record back years ago when he was on Rounder, and I did a bunch of jazzy type things and fingerpicked stuff that's just not bluegrass, but it's stuff I like. And there's some of that on this record as well. So,
you know, one of my favorite records, one of my favorite LPs was from 1974, I think it was. I called it the White Album because it was that album that had, you know, Norman Blake and Sam Bush and Butch Robbins and I think who else was on it. But also it had the jazz bassist Dave Holland on it.
Right, I remember that record, yeah.
And it was
very cool record.
And it just showed, I mean, you got this, Vassar Clumps, of course, is the fiddler on it. But it just showed, I mean, that all this music can fit together and come out in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We're not slaves to tradition, even though our last record was called Original Traditional, because we are such fans of traditional music, traditional bluegrass. So we decided to pay tribute to it by doing some of our tunes that sounded like that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what you guys do, is like you do further the tradition. You start there, and it keeps going on. So I think that's wonderful. Now, we start off the show with something from your new record, Acoustic Guitar, and let's go ahead and close down the show with something else. And what would you like to have the folks hear?
Yeah, well, we, you know, to get kind of get the spirit of the record, I guess we could do. Is it okay if we do Janet's tune?
Let's do Janet's Waltz if you'd like. Yeah,
Janet's Waltz. Yeah, Janet's my wife, and this was just what I thought was a real pretty fingerpick tune. And when I started looking for the record, to record the record, I was doing some work with a cellist from New York City named Dave Egger. And Dave is pretty well known, and he's played with everybody from Beyonce to Robert Redford. And it's just amazing the breadth of people he's played with and the things he's done. He was a child prodigy, and he's done soundtracks. He's done everything. He's gone to the Philippines and done folk records, and his new record is just amazing. And he was recording over here in East Tennessee. He found a studio here that he really liked. It happened to be owned by my co-writer and best friend, Bobby Starnes. And so I kind of got hooked in with Dave, and he said, well, you know, I'd like to play some with you, on a record with you or something. I said, I'd love for you to do this. So he ended up on three cuts on this record. And what he played just fit this song perfectly. And I'm really thrilled with it. And I'm really thrilled with the fact that my wife likes it.
Well, Tim Stafford, thank you so much for joining us on WVUD's The Music Room.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, man.
And here we go. Tim Stafford's Janet's Waltz on WVUD. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 New York.
For more information about this and other episodes, visit sites.udel.edu/TMR.
Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m.
for The Music Room on WVUD.